But I could take it a little better, maybe if you'd have given me some advance notice and I could brace myself for what just happened. I would have appreciated some notice, and I could prepare myself a little better. But you see, when life throws a curveball at you, what do you do? And what do you say? Here's what life says to you. You may have planned for some stuff, but there's been a change of plans. That's the title of this message today. There's been a change of plans. How many of you ever planned something out and things didn't go exactly like the way you planned it? Okay, yeah. All of us, if I think if we're honest, we would say, yeah, no, I planned for this, and it certainly didn't happen that way. And I've had to renegotiate. I've had to adjust my plans. The bottom line is that I don't really mind changing plans so much as I just don't like my plans being changed without my consent. I don't mind changing plans as long as I have the input. But when my plans are changed for me, it throws me in a tizzy. It gets me I get aggravated. I get upset. I get discouraged sometimes. But you see, God doesn't always ask for my permission to change my plans. Life, when life happens, life doesn't consult me first and say, hey, what do you think about this? Let me throw this at you and see what you consider. And, you know, it's up to you, but what do you think about this? Life doesn't do that with us. Maybe there's somebody here that always loved Christmas time. And you love spending time with mom and dad. But all of a sudden, mom and dad are no longer together. You see, there's been a change of plans. Maybe you expected to retire from that job that you have so faithfully given yourself to for years and years and years. And now you have to find another way to provide for your family. You see, there's been a change of plans. You didn't plan for your son or for your daughter or for your grandchild to have babies before they were married. But there's been a change of plans. And now you find yourself in that position and you need to adjust. Maybe you plan to grow old together and drink coffee on the front porch every morning, but tragedy or disease or maybe even unfaithfulness stepped in and stole that away from you. And now there's been a change of plans. Here's the challenge, and I want you to get this. Don't let your plans cause you to miss out on God's purpose for your life. Mary, I know you were planning a wedding, but surprise! God planned to save the world. There's been a change of plans. You just need to call Walmart, change the bridal registry from the items on your registry item list from marriage gifts to a baby shower gifts. You see, there's been a change of plan. You need to make some adjustments there. What do you do when you're a planner and you don't want to get blindsided? Okay, I'm a planner. I told you I don't like it, but I do it because I need to have a plan. But I really don't like to get blindsided. What do I do so that I'm not caught so off guard? I think there's just a few things that I've thought about that I want to share with you. We can plan for interruptions. We can plan for inconvenience. And we can plan for imperfection. Someone here today, or maybe even somebody that's going to be hearing this message online throughout the week or next week or next year or however long it stays on the internet, somebody needs to hear this. Somebody needs to quit getting all worked up over the imperfections and start celebrating progress. I'll say that again. Somebody needs to quit getting all worked up over imperfections and start celebrating progress. God didn't wait for our perfection, did he? No. Bible says that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He died for us in our imperfection. When I accepted that truth in my life, all of heaven celebrated my progress, even though I have not achieved perfection, even though I am far from perfect. God said, I prepared for your imperfection, and I have made a way. I think another thing we need to do is we need to plan for impossibility. And I believe that God wants to do something in your life this year that defies human reason. Mary said, how can this be since I'm a virgin? I don't understand this. This is an impossibility. How can this be? And the angel says, nothing is impossible with God. Absolutely nothing. No thing is impossible with God. You probably have a plan for your life. You probably made some plans. You may have been contributing to a retirement account. Maybe you've got plans and you've got dreams and aspirations of enjoying relationships and accumulating things and accomplishing some goals you've set in your life. Mary probably had a plan for her life, and it probably did not include premarital childbirth. Joseph probably had a plan for his life, and it probably did not include a disgraceful situation. God has a plan for your life too. Jeremiah 29:11 says, for God says, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. I want you to know, if you're within the sound of my voice today, God has a plan for you. And it's a good plan. And he knows the plan. Plans to give you a hope and a future to prosper you. Do you want to follow your plan so explicitly that you miss out on what God's plan is for you? Oh, he's so much better at planning than I am. He said, I know the plans I have, not I'm making known to you the plans I have for you. He says, you see, he keeps that kind of as a surprise. I know the plans I have for you. And it bothers me so much because at Christmas time, they'll tell me, oh, I know what you're getting for Christmas. What is it? I'm not going to tell you. Then why even tell me that you know? But the Lord says, I know what's in store for you. And I said, God, what is it? He says, I'm not telling you yet. It's going to be a surprise. And that bugs me. But I just have to trust that God's planning and his purpose is always so much better. It's timelier. It's more perfect. It's farther reaching than anything I could ever plan. We often get plans confused with promises, okay? God will change your plans in order to bring about his promises. Doesn't mean that God's promises change. His promises are promises. But sometimes he needs to change us to bring about his promise in our life. I think one reason God changes our plans is because, frankly, if everything went according to our plans, we wouldn't need God. And as soon as I say that, I know that that's not a true statement. I know enough about me to know that if everything went according to my plans, I'd be in such a mess right now. Only God could get me out of it. We forget that our minds are finite and we cannot see the big picture like God does. So when you've been trying and trying and desperate to get to God, he said, your plans aren't working. You see, you can't get to me. There's a separation. Separation is your actions. Your sin has separated us. And there's no way you can get to me. There's a great divide. the Bible calls it. A great separation between us because of what you've done. You've broken my law. You've broken my commands. You've broken my principles in your life. It's called sin. And that has caused a separation between us. And you cannot get to me. So there's been a change of plans. Guess what? I'm coming to you. And he came in this Christmas story into the world for one reason and one reason only. It's to redeem you and me back to him. To close the gap. You see, but that wasn't a change of God's plan. The Bible says that Christ was slain before the foundation of the world. You see, God knew. He planned for our imperfections. And I will tell you, his plan is so good. His plan is perfection. And I want to follow that plan. My plans won't accomplish what I want. He says, my way is better. My way works. My way is prosperous. My way is hopeful. And my way has a future. Whose plan you want to follow, big boy? Yours or mine? Romans chapter 3, verses 3 and 4 says this. For what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did. Sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and as an offering for sin. He condemned sin in the flesh so that the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh but according to the Spirit. You see, God said, look, here's my plan. I require perfection and you're not perfect. Allow me because there's still a debt that has to be paid for your sin. And it requires a perfect sacrifice. You can't even give a perfect sacrifice. He said, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to send my son, God himself, in the form of Jesus Christ, to be that perfect sacrifice for you. That's what the cross is, folks. Your sins were nailed to the cross when Jesus was nailed to the cross. The problem is this. You don't receive that forgiveness. You don't receive that status with God, that friendship, that closed gap with God, just because Jesus did that. You have to receive it. You have to accept that in your life. You have to allow Christ to become your king. You have to follow him. That is his plan. Religion is man's plan. Religion has been around for years and years and years and ages and eons. Religion is man's plan. But a relationship is God's plan. Going through the rituals, kneeling and doing the Lord's Supper and the baptism and the saying our prayers in the appropriate way and dressing the way we're supposed to dress and all that is man's plan, folks. God says, just come as you are. Amen. Come to me, you who are heavy laden. I will give you rest. Come to me just as you are. He doesn't say you need to get yourself all fixed up. Maybe there's somebody here today and saying, I want to get saved. I want to be saved. I want to receive Jesus Christ. I've just got to get my life straightened out first. And let me tell you something. You can't get it straightened out first. You can't get it straightened out on your own. You've been working on that. How's that working for you? Christ says, come to me, and I will empower you with my Spirit. I will give you the Holy Spirit, and he will be your comforter. He will be your guide. He will be your enabler. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Power to do that which you cannot do without. That's what it means to have a relationship with Christ. Religion is man's plan. Relationship is God's plan. If you've been trying religion, you've been trying religion and trying to get to God, let me tell you something this morning. There's been a change of plans. And God wants you to know that it's just a relationship. Come to Christ. Come back to Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. The Bible says that no man comes to the Father except through Jesus Christ. Folks, I know no other text to preach than the Word of God. And I don't apologize for what it says. I believe it, and I will stand upon it. And that's what it says. No man comes to the Father except through Jesus Christ. And so that's what I've got to relay to you. There is no other way. The world will tell us there is. The world will tell us, well, we can meditate more and we can make all these sacrifices and offerings and do all these things. And if we will claim this God and say this, and if we'll go on this missionary trip for this long, or we'll cross our legs and hold our hands in this certain way, or whatever it is, the world will tell us there are all these different ways. They all lead to the God, you know, that Allah and God and Buddha and Hare Krishna, whoever all these things are. But the world will tell us that they're all the same, and it's just this great Mother Earth being entity in the sky. And folks, that's not what my Bible teaches me. The Bible teaches me that God says, I'm a jealous God, and you will have no other gods before me. And I'm not going to apologize for that. I didn't say it to begin with. I'm just telling you what God's already said. Maybe you need to come back to Christ this time, this year. What a way to start out the new year. Reestablishing a relationship with Him. That's what it's about. Remember, it's not about religion. It's about a relationship. Maybe you need to reestablish that relationship with Him. Maybe you've never initiated that relationship with you. Listen, God has already initiated the relationship. All you have to do is respond to His invitation. In a moment, we're going to stand and we're going to sing a song. And I'll be standing in the front. My ministry partner, my life partner, will be standing with me. And particularly if you're a woman and you don't want to come see this old bald-headed ugly guy, you can certainly go to a much more attractive and sweeter person next to me and pray with her. And she'd love to pray with you. I'd love to pray with you too. Maybe you need to bypass both of us and come straight to the altar. And you're welcome to do that. I've got my little prayer bench over here. If you have a hard time getting up and down and you want to make use of it, please do. It's anointed. It's a fabulous piece of equipment right there. Make use of it. Whatever your need is, this is your time. I'm through talking to you. This is your time. If God has spoken to you, no, let me change that. I know that God has spoken to you. What are you going to do with it now? It's your time to respond. It's on your shoulders now. What are you going to do with what you've heard? Are you just going to say, well, yep, that's what I expected, and walk out of here? Are you going to walk away and say, no, all that guy, yeah, that's just not for me? That's a response. That's a rejection. And you're free to do that. I would not encourage it. I would encourage that you come to Christ and say, look, I am imperfect. I have messed up. And I believe that you are the only way. And I'll put my trust in that. My only hope for eternity is in you. Would you come and do that today? Would you stand as we sing? Father, I thank you for this time today. I thank you for this place that we're in. I thank you for this season that we've just been through. Lord, and I just pray that as we enter into this new year, Father, that we would really take assessment of our lives and resolve within ourselves that this is going to be different. I'm not going to follow my plan so strictly this year that I've made out, because I know that it's apt for frailty, for fault, and ultimately for failure. But Father, I'm going to allow you to change my plans, and I'm going to follow your plan, because your plan will accomplish the greater purpose where my plan fails. Father, help us to honor you today. Help us to receive you. Help us to respond to what you've already spoken to us, in Jesus' name. Amen.